ஹலோ அண்ட் வெல்கம் டு சங்கம் லிட். திஸ் இஸ் நந்தினி கார்கி அண்ட் இன் திஸ் எபிசோட் வி ஹியர் த லேமெண்ட் ஆஃப் அ போய்ட் அஸ் டெபிக்டட் இன் சங்கம் லிட்ரரி ஒர்க் புறநானூறு 375 பென் ஃபார் த வேலிர் கிங் ஐ அண்டிரன் பை த போய்ட் உறையூர் ஏனிச்சேரி முடமோசியார். Set in the category of Padanthinai, the verse spotlights the generosity of this king in the contrast of a barren background. Alangu kadir sumandha kalangar chooli, nilai thalarvu tholaindha olga nilai palgar podiyil, oru sirai palliyaga, mula arai pondai aravai maamadal, naarum polum kinayodu surukki, ஏரின் வாழ்நர் குடிமுறை புகா ஊழ் இறந்து உண்ணும் உயவல் வாழ்வை புறவு எதிர்ந்து கொள்ளும் சான்றோர் யார் என பிரசம் தூங்கும் அரா யானர் வரையணி படப்பை நன்னாட்டு பொருண பொய்யா ஈகை கழல் தொடி ஆஐ யாவரும் இன்மையின் கிணைப்ப தாவது பெருமழை கடல் பரந்தாங்கு யானும் ஒரு நின் உள்ளி வந்தனின் அதனால் புலவர் புக்கில் ஆகி நிலவரை நீலியர் அத்தை நீயே ஒன்றே நின் என்று வருவிது ஆகிய உலகத்து நிலவன் மாறோ புறவலர் துண்ணி பெரிய ஓதினும் சிறிய உணரா பீடு இன்று பெருகிய திருவின் பாடியில் மன்னரை பாடன்மார் யமரே. A verse that celebrates the virtues of this Velir king and says something significant about a code of honor. The poet's words can be translated as follows. Akin to a muddy reservoir filled with floating stocks, with their shapes ruined in an unsteady state, stand many columns of the village center, whose cracked floor happens to be my bed. Taking huge leaves, fibers and shoots of the palmyra tree with a drum-like base and tying all that along with my kinai drum, I approach the community of those who live by the plow and accept whatever they can offer as per their custom. Wondering who could be the noble people who would render the right reward and end this suffering-filled life where I have to beg for my food, I came to your fine country filled with hanging honeycombs, unending prosperity and mountain groves, O King Aai, the one wearing warrior armlets and having unceasing generosity. Seeing that I had no one to appreciate the music of my kinai drum, without hesitating, just as how huge clouds rush to the seas, I too came here thinking of you. May you continue to remain the refuge of poets and live for long upon this earth. In a world with no one like you, how can supplicants live anymore? Even though we go close and say a lot, they feel not even a little. Such is the attitude of those kings who have plenty of wealth but no fame and honor. My kind shall never sing of such kings, O Lord. Let's explore the thoughts presented here. The poet begins by talking about a tank that is all muddied, filled with dead branches and leaves, floating on its surface. This ruined state of the once clear waters of this tank is placed in parallel to the loosened and displaced columns of the hall in a town center. And the poet says it's on the broken floors of such a place that he used to sleep. He talks about how he took the many useful parts of a palmyra tree and he tied them with his kinai drum. What is the significance of collecting palm leaves and shoots and placing it with a musical drum? A reference we have already seen once or twice. That's not evident, but the poet continues saying how he then walks towards the houses of those who live by the plow, meaning the farmers, and there he begs for food. And they give what they can according to their tradition. The poet is saddened by the state of begging for his food, having no one to appreciate his art, and then the country of this king comes to his mind. It's a fertile mountain land where honeycombs hang everywhere, and there are lush mountain groves and symbols of great fertility all around, the poet details, as he sings these praises to the ruler of this land, King Aai. Presenting the relevant simile of the way clouds rush to the seas to fill themselves with water, the poet says that's the certainty with which he came to this king and requests the king to always remain such an unwavering refuge to poets and supplicants, wishing him a long life. Next, the poet declares that in a world where there's no one like this king, supplicants cannot survive anymore. He then says no matter how well poets approach them and sing with fervor, there are certain people who are absolutely not moved at all. They are the kings who are now becoming ubiquitous, the ones who have nothing to be sung about, no fame and honor, but merely possess copious wealth. Our poet concludes by declaring that poets like him would never debase themselves singing of such kings. We can understand the honor of these poets as well as their expectations from their patrons in this verse. It was not enough to just have possessions and power, but to be a patron, one must be moved by the words and music of these artists, which was not happening anymore, the poet says. Could this verse be a historical record of the changing times when the Sangam era was starting to decline and the culture of celebrating art was eroding? Highly likely. When kings are focused only on accumulating wealth and there's no one to celebrate the work of such poets, then won't art slowly die and so too culture? Perhaps that's what the poet is talking about in the latter part of the verse, even as he celebrates this mountain king as the last of the great that lived then. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do spread the word about Sangam Lit. Until next time. Nandri, Vanakkam.